Please be seated. Actually, before we get started, I wanted to share an announcement. Did not get back to you, but something to celebrate. We have many things to celebrate, but one of them was yesterday at the garage sale. And I think a special shout out, we've got people up here who worked it yesterday, and they're singing at the early service. So a special shout out to those that are doing that. $1,850 was made, and thought it was a very good number. We had not as much merchandise as before, but it moved very well, what we had. And I quite frankly thought I was very pleased the way it moved. And so just a great way, opportunity. There's some fellowship. There's some great Sloppy Joes. Thank you, Ron. I know you don't like me centered out, but you know, it was good, okay? And some good fellowship as well as money raised for our mission. So that is something to celebrate, definitely. It was a win. Now, have you ever heard of winning and yet coming in last in the race? It is possible. The story that comes to mind is from about 1978, a TV movie, Joanne Woodward. I think everybody here, except for one, everybody here would know who I'm talking about, Joanne Woodward, presented. It was called See How She Runs. Now, I don't remember as much of the setup, but it's basically a woman of a certain age has her job, but the marriage is ended, and empty nest, and kind of what do I do now? I mean, I've got work. Well, other than that, what do I do with my life? And so a friend has suggested that she take up running. And so that's kind of the early part of the movie, doing that. And then, for whatever reason, she is signed up for a marathon, probably earlier than she should have, in terms of ideal running perfection. But it's then the last third of the movie is about her running that race. And she starts out that day with other people, and she's excited, and gets the water breaks and all of that. And gradually, she moves behind. She's keeping pace. I mean, her pace. She keeps running, but people keep getting ahead of her. And she just keeps on going. And she keeps going, and she keeps going. It gets dark. She's still running. The people that do the finish line think everybody has finished, and so they wind it up. She's still running those streets. There are no police protection. There's what you couldn't do now. But anyway, she's, you know, it's a movie in 78. So anyway, she's out there still running. Well, the TV crew that's been covering this piece has, you know, wrapped up. And again, think the equipment of 78. They're on their van going back to the station, and they see her running. Oh my gosh, she's still running. This is kind of a good local feature. They film a little bit of it, send it to the news channel. And that's about as high tech as you could get. And they put it on the local news bit. Now, again, do you remember when stores that sold televisions would have them like out front, that you could be walking on the street and could look in and see them? Okay, so you've got the people seeing her running. You've got the guys that are kind of street guys, a little nervous being around them, but they're going, oh, yeah, look what she's doing. Well, then they go on and they see her, oh, there goes that lady. And so they start following, in a good way, follow her. In fact, it becomes the big thing in town. Follow the lady who's still running on the TV. And so there she just keeps on going. And eventually they get the word to the race organizer. So they go back and they set up a finish line for her. And so you've got the TV crew, like, this is a great human interest story. They've got this going, and you got the people cheering. And then we get right towards the end. And imagine this is the finish line right up here. And she's about that front door. And she stumbles. And she scrapes the knee or something else. It's like, oh, I just can't. Well, of course, you got everybody cheering. You got the TV crew cheering. You got the people watching on TV cheering. You got everybody cheering. And so dramatic effect, she slowly gets up and she runs and crosses the line. And that sense that these factors in life that have been knocking her down aren't going to keep her down. So yes, strictly, she probably didn't even qualify for the race, but she won. A race in which she won. That image comes to mind reflecting on this section in Philippians, where we are called to keep pressing forward in faith despite setbacks, to keep going forward, to stay focused on the goal, which is union with Christ, and to live up to your calling. It's ultimately a work of the Holy Spirit. First is to acknowledge, keep pressing forward, acknowledging imperfections, but keep pressing forward. Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, I press on to make it my own. He is still on a journey. No matter how bold some of his statements might be, I come across, he is still saying, look, I'm still a work in progress. Any 12-step program will have someone saying, I am X in recovery. Someone might be clean and sober for 40 years, will still say, I'm a recovering from whatever. Celebrate Recovery has a slightly different language. They'll say, I'm a Christ follower who struggles with X, Y, or Z. But clearly it's still on a journey. Life as that journey. And I reflect on that, and then I reflect on Rose. And sometimes for life, it's like an interstate. Sometimes it's I-35, downtown Dallas, at 5:30 p.m. And sometimes it's like I-35 southbound, heading to Waco, 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning, passing Waxahachie. Thank goodness for cruise control. Otherwise, you'd be going 90 miles an hour like everybody who's passing you merrily along the way. But you're going down interrupted. Sometimes it's like a federal or state highway. Sometimes it's like a service road. And I'm really growing to love, I love service roads in Texas, where you know, you get off, but you keep going. Yeah. You're not as fast. You have to stop at lights, but you keep going and you get on ahead. Not the way you had intended, but that's the way that works. And sometimes life, it's like driving on those county roads where you drive down the middle because it's so bad on both sides. Okay, I'm doing driver's ed with Mary Claire. At least some of those back roads. Yes, around Nevada. Yes, that's it's like, yes, honey, I want you to go down the middle. Don't care what the book says. This is reality. So, you know, so that's what you keep on the journey. And keep focused on the prize, staying focused on the goal. Now, Paul talks about that. Now, remember, Paul is the Jewish guy who grew up in a Greek culture, Greek-speaking city. Greek would have been his first language, and then was taught Hebrew, or taught them side by side. And so, for those, we had the opportunity to read the Odyssey in high school. Maybe some of you all did too. He read the Odyssey, heard it, he could talk about it with you. I mean, that was his world, and so the athletic world of the Greeks was something he knew, observed, seen. He may have boxed himself in his early days or run some of the races. And so he's using that language that you keep going with that goal in mind, that purpose-driven goal. Years ago, I was at a dinner with my father, and he was not, a longer story, which I will spare you, he wasn't really looking forward to it, but there we were. We had mixed feelings about it. He liked the speaker, and actually some things about the speaker connected with my father's own his story. And the fellow said about the, keeping the main thing the main thing. And something about that quote and the speaker's background connected. So afterwards, it's like, son, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Yes, sir, I heard it. Yeah, yes, sir, I heard that, okay. That's the keeping the main thing the main thing. And that's what Paul calls us to do. And then to live up to the calling. to press forward onto that goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature be of the same mind. If you think differently, God will reveal it to you. To keep pressing onward, to have that mindset to do so, to keep learning. It's all really connected. It's a never-ending journey of learning. Other family example, my mother was a school teacher, and for some years she was at home full-time with us. And but Daddy always wanted her to keep her teaching certificate active. And so it meant for several years that she was would go to UNC Charlotte, which to me, in terms of distance, is kind of like University of Texas at Mesquite, but putting it in Sachse. But anyway, that's what they called it, and going there to take classes. And appear up that twice, I remember her going up there and taking a class that gave her the certification points that she needed to keep it going, knowing that you have to keep doing it. Now, of course, once she went back to the classroom, there were still workshops and things that she would attend to keep the certificate up. Continuing to learn and learning from others. We are on a race. There is a course. We are called to focus on the prize and to live up to our calling. And it's the same for a church. It is on a journey in its particular location. Yesterday, speaking with the Hammonds, they went to the Mesquite Meander last Friday night. I was not able to do it this year, which I'm disappointed about that, but it just did not work out. But talked about one of the residents at the cemetery there as part of her story. Oh, Mesquite had 600 people when I was born. And then by the time I passed, it was at 130,000. And so with the Hammonds kind of explaining, yes, this property, this was a farm. And there's individuals, I mean, you remember this was a farm out in the country to be out here. And the community continues to change, to grow, to develop, and the church has its place to serve in that. Knowing its past and then to look at the present, which constantly has changed. It's not 1955, it's not 1995, it's not whatever it'll be in 2035. But looking at it where it is now, but then asking what is next and how to prepare. And we're in a season of prayer with Project Regeneration, our small group working on that, to see what would be the next step. I began with a story of a race where the woman came in last officially, but really she won. There's another story, and you may know this, of Derek Raymond running the 400 race. He was a qualifying for this Olympic event, and he was favored to win, but a hamstring snapped and he fell to the ground. But he wanted to complete the race, and so he gets up, falls, you know, kind of the whole class that gets up, falls, and trying to go at his father, jumps out of the stands, pushes past the security, and comes alongside him. I will be there with you. You will finish this event. Now, strictly speaking, he was disqualified because somebody was helping him. But in the end, that's what we remember about that race. Nobody knows who won it. That's what they did. It was about his drive to wish to succeed, to finish it, and his father's love to come alongside him. In the same way that Jesus is coming alongside us in our race, equipping us with the Holy Spirit to make it to the end. And probably more times than we'll ever be aware, this side of glory, we were hobbling. And he was on his, you know, we had an arm over his shoulder, so to speak, to continue. Our Heavenly Father, our God, is helping us run the race. The Holy Spirit is there to help us along the way. As we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, Jesus gives, guides, leads, directs, inspires us with this grace so that in the end, we will win. God be the glory. Amen. Let us now stand and say we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.